cold, hard Steel Town.
Tough game, and there's probably a lot of what-ifs. There's a lot of throws I'd like to have back. Like I said, I don't put a blame on anybody except myself. I feel like I let the city of Pittsburgh down, the fans, my coaches, my teammates, and it's not a good feeling.
Pittsburgh knows conflict, the agony of defeat and thrill of victory. Coming together after the Super Bowl defeat is just one way the city of cold rivers and hot metals deals with strife.
I'm wondering, do you know anything about Afghanistan? Is there anything you'd like to know?
I'm interested in trying their food today, and I'm sure it's going to be yummy.
Yummy. That's right. Yummy food from places where landmines are as common as cloves of garlic. Welcome to the East Liberty neighborhood of Pittsburgh and the homey little Conflict Kitchen. It's a place to celebrate the cuisine of places that might not invite Americans to dinner. If you could be taken hostage there, they've got a hot dish from the place here. On today's menu, Afghan Balanis. Red lentils and spicy potato wrapped in paper printed with a range of interviews from leading Afghanis. Don Waleski is a co-founder of the Conflict Kitchen, where an embargo doesn't say diplomatic crisis, it says chow time.
Maybe a little bit of Cuban, maybe a little bit of Venezuelan. How about Afghan? And realize that those cuisines all come from countries that the U.S. government is in conflict with. And so what if we serve those cuisines, not all at once, but on a rotating basis, and then wrap the food in the words of the people from that country as a way to stimulate dialogue on the street about politics and culture?
Now, our partner, the BBC, based, as we all know, in a land that's been ripping off other people's food for centuries, wanted to get to the bottom of this. Sure, food from far-flung places is fine, but a superpower should be unafraid to impose its cuisine on other cultures. Reporter Johnny Diamond wondered how co-founder John Rubin felt about giving, say, Iranians a taste of McDonald's.
Not necessarily, certainly. I think you know,
don't sound like a McDonald's fan.
I'm not
to me.
Much of a McDonald's fan. Well,
you're missing
a
lot.
You know, for us, it's not necessarily that we need to plant American restaurants in foreign countries, but that we need to create conversations that are much more first person and more direct and more humane.
I get it. So if in 2003 George W. Bush had sat down to a dinner of flatbread, spinach bolognese, and saffron rice instead of condi rice, how might history have changed? Customer Melanie Trainham says the Conflict Kitchen may not bring about world peace, but it does keep hope in the warming drawer.
It's amazing. Awesome.
Yeah. Afghanistan's like, I mean, the political situation is not ideal.
Not exactly a great place to be a woman right now either.
Yeah, the Taliban made it that way. Actually, they're actually very hospitable and generally have equal terms.
I don't get this kind of dialogue at McDonald's either.
Yeah.
You know, so
Melanie Trainham in Pittsburgh seems happy enough, but we ran this kitchen detente idea by someone who is a real expert, South Asia specialist Christine Fair, who also wrote a book called Cuisines of the Axis of Evil. Break bread together? Not on your life.
There's no question it pushes us apart. Absolutely no question. At any given dinner party, I have to think about, am I going to have my Muslim friends over, in which case I can't do any Mexican food that has lard? Am I going to have my vegetarian friends over? It's not only about what kinds of animals you can eat. It's how the animals are killed. Can you have a cheeseburger? Can you have, you know, a bagel with lox and cream cheese? I cannot find a single incident when food actually brings us together.
Yeah.
And so the BBC's hope that Pittsburgh might have found a path to global nirvana goes the way of the League of Nations or the latest Arab-Israeli peace talks. Lentils? You just think they're good luck. Pilaf in our time? Hey, Pittsburgh, maybe next year.